Mrs. Gerald Gillan.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to continue my challenge to New Clause 17, specifically on behalf of Mandate Now, which was an organisation set up by my constituent, Tom Perry. It seeks to introduce a new law which means that people working in regulated activities have a mandatory requirement to report their suspicions to the local authority. I have to say that I was delighted to see that the opposition is supporting mandatory reporting, but as I have said, I'm disappointed to see the flaws in the clause that have been put forward. I believe that mandatory reporting is going to be inevitable, but I think its design is critically important. And it's not particularly a law that can be lifted off the shelf and applied and switched on, as Mandate Now says. It is a complicated subject, it is nuanced, and it needs very careful construction, as I'm sure the Honourable Lady appreciates, particularly having adopted the position that the opposition front bench has taken up recently. The member for Bassett Law struck a chord with me when he said there should be no no-go areas, and I think that that is absolutely right. And what worries me about New Clause 17 is it actually creates those no-go areas and protects them and continues to enshrine them in what I think is a flawed law. Can I just say, as far as Clause 1C, it appears that the duty to report is only to apply where harm is caused within a setting of regulated activities. As I understand it, outside the scope remains children who are abused at home. And if multiple concerns about any child, or even a concern about any child, is brought to the attention of staff at their schools, for example, this would not necessarily be caught by the provision as currently drafted by the opposition. Yes, of course.
To the Right Honourable Lady, and obviously we've had an exchange already on this issue, but obviously within a school that is regulated activity, so if the teachers working within a school became aware of that issue, then they would be covered by the amendment, is my understanding.
Mandate Now's understanding is that it isn't, because if the abuse occurs outside one of the regulated activities and is brought to the attention of somebody within that regulated activity, it would appear under the drafting of 1C that there would be possibility that it would not become a mandatory reportable incident. Moving on, 1C requires that a person becomes aware that a child has been harmed. Now, the requirement to know that a child has been harmed, I think, is problematic. So often, as with sexual abuse, for instance, it's very difficult to suspect, let alone to know. And I think that the challenge that Mandate Now made to what the NSPCC put forward is absolutely right. A law that depends on somebody being aware is a dangerously vague drafting of the law, and it's not going to catch most cases. And I think the Honourable Lady should look at using a term here, which is that a person must act on reasonable grounds of suspicion. And I do think that that amendment to the drafting of this particular new clause that she's put forward would improve that situation. Similarly, the exceptions under Section 2A, I think that permission of undefined circumstances for reasons not to refer an incident for independent assessment undermines totally that concept of mandatory reporting. When might it be in the interests of a child to be harmed and those who know or suspect do nothing about it? I think this needs to be made explicit. In B, 2B, the clause is almost a facsimile of the current and porous position, and in complying with the current non-mandatory reporting clauses in institutional child protection procedures, personal liability seems to be avoided. I think this proposal continues with the failed narrative that reporting to the local authority for independent assessment is reliant on what the person responsible for reporting believes. If, for example, the member of staff refers to the head teacher as the designated person and nothing happens because the head believes it wasn't in the child's interests to refer, Or, for example, if the head followed the inadequate professional guidelines, which are discretionary, as it so happens, then this amendment produces no change. I think that, as mandate now says, the exceptions in Section 2 undermine the already underpowered provisions in Section 1. Now, the Honourable Lady will know that an earlier mandatory reporting amendment was moved in the House of in the other place, and it was withdrawn on an assurance from the government that they would start this consultation on mandatory reporting. Now, she knows, and I know, and the minister sitting on the front bench knows, that the terms of reference have not yet been drawn up. And as I understand it, is because we are now approaching something called the general election and there is a purdah. So I have a proposition to both front benches. I think it would be good if we could work on this on a cross-party basis. This should not be a political subject. This is something we should agree on. And it would be very good tonight that rather than putting new Clause 17 to a vote, if the two front benches could meet behind the chair and they could agree that the government could draw up those terms of reference together with the front bench opposite and produce those and publish those during this purdah period and before the general election, as soon as possible, in fact. That way, I think all those victims that are outside, all those people that are relying on this place to improve the situation for all our future children and to learn from the history that many of our constituents have faced, would have a lot more confidence that we were doing our job correctly. So I put that to both front benches and I give way to my right honourable.
Thank you. I'm most grateful to my right honourable friend, because in dealing with subclause 2 of new clause 17, she lights upon one of the problems that there's an awful lot of well-motivated proposals coming forward in bills such as this. But the very point that she lights upon demonstrates that we have to be very, very careful before we legislate without thinking very, very carefully about what is intended. And it's not clear to me whether the demonstration of acting in the best interest of a child is subjective to the person who believes he's acting, or is it to be tested against those of a reasonable person looking at what that person was doing. And if we pass, for example, new clause 17, subclause 2, without analysing that, well, then we get into trouble. So I do urge her to ask the two front benches to talk about that if they are to go behind the Speaker's chair.
Well, my right honourable learned friend is absolutely right, and I think that he just reinforces the position that the commentators from Mandate Now have spotted in the way that this clause is drafted. But as I say, I want this to be non-party political. I think this is irrespective of politics, and that's why it would be good if tonight we could show the House doing its best job and coming together so that the government could work with the opposition front bench on the guidelines for this consultation and get it out there as soon as possible. Can I just say that Mandate Now is supported by its membership base is 114 survivor charities in England, 8 in Scotland and 10 in Wales. There is a substantial body of opinion behind these views, and I very much hope that both front benches will take them seriously and not force us through the lobbies against a clause and a concept that I believe in, but I feel could not vote for tonight because of its quite obvious flaws.